Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Looking at the safest floors in rounds 1 and 2. You're like, oh, I'm Hunter Ross St. Brown. He's super safe. Well, yeah, you're probably right. But I'm going to poke holes in the argument anyway. Jonathan Taylor's going to get 330 carries. Super safe. You're probably right. But we'll poke holes in the argument anyway. Puka Nacua, Jahmyr Gibbs, who's got the safest floor amongst the first four players being drafted. What about round 2? What about Saquon Barkley, Trey McBride, who's got a safer floor there? That's what we're talking about on today's show. We also have an update on the Josh Jacobs situation and Devon Achane's shoulder. And Dave Richard is here, and Heath Cummings is here. Jamie should be here soon. Oh, Jamie has entered the studio. Hello, Dave Richard.
What's up, kid?
Dave repping his Chicago White Sox shirt. He's
baseball's back.
Yeah. What's his
in
name?
My life.
Murakami. Murakami. Yes. 20 home runs. Pretty good. Jamie, hello.
Heath is on mute.
Heath is on mute.
I'm having a conversation with somebody else in the room right now.
All right. Well, now he's going to talk to all of you. All right. Let's get right into it with the news and notes. So right now, Josh Jacobs will not be charged for the domestic violence. When he was arrested on domestic violence a couple days ago, but that doesn't mean that he won't be charged at some point. So it is a big, I don't know right now. A lot of potential outcomes for Jacobs. And we'll leave it at that. Devon Achane has a shoulder injury. He hopes to be ready for training camp. Dave, you're going to go to Dolphins mini camp next week where you most likely will not see Devon Achane play.
No, but hopefully we'll get an idea of the basics of this offense and whether or not there will be a lot of running back involvement in the passing game, because that's clearly something we're worried about with Achane.
Jamie, you are going to Colts minicamp where you can see Daniel Jones play. Are you excited?
I'm not.
You are? Surprise. Pack your bags. No, you're not. But Daniel Jones participated in individual drills in OTAs as he is preparing for to come back from this Achilles injury.
It's anytime you're seeing, you know, same thing with Patrick Mahomes, like you're seeing these guys ahead of, or at least, you know, ready to, you know, get started coming off significant injuries. That's encouraging. So I think in the case of Daniel Jones, and, you know, unfortunately Alec Pierce was not practicing, but, you know, in the case of Daniel Jones, you know, you want to see him on the field. You want to see him good to go. You want to see what he looked like at the start of the last season, and hopefully the same thing for the rest of this Colts offense.
Heath, if you could pick one training camp or one mini camp to go to, what would it be?
I can pick one mini camp to go to. I think I would go to the Raiders.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Well, you could go to the Eagles and see A.J. Brown and go to the Patriots and not see A.J. Brown. Remember, we're expecting an A.J. Brown trade maybe as early as June 1st, but right now, the two teams, Philadelphia and New England, are not particularly close on trade compensation for Brown, according to Ian Rappaport. The Chargers, both of their offensive tackles who were hurt last year, Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, those two guys are trending toward being ready for training camp. And a trade that doesn't matter for fantasy, Seattle acquired wide receiver Irvin Charles from the Jets for a conditional 7th-round pick that is a special teams trade. Heath, FFT Dynasty promo, go!
Yeah, we've got a super flex startup mock draft that you are refusing to participate in coming up on Friday. It's going to be a blast.
I have physical therapy. I'm very sorry. I can't participate in it.
Is it a tennis injury or a softball injury?
I'm in my 40s injury. It's
okay.
Oh, how was your doubles match? Get out of that.
Doubles match was tough. It was tough. We won 7-5, 6-4. It was hot out last night. It was real. I love matches like that. I love the got to grind it out. It was a lot of fun.
Well, it's because you're such a great athlete.
Yeah. Compared to, you know, in a 40 and over league where you're 41 years old, yeah, you should be a pretty good athlete there.
Now, who was this that told you you're a great athlete?
My captain. Look, I get to a lot of balls. I don't know what to tell you.
Like Tom Hanks' captain or like Captain America? Like, who's your captain?
Tennis captain, Joe.
Joe, the tennis captain.
Joe, the tennis captain, yeah. So, Dave, we got a fan mock draft going on?
We do. We've been talking about these fan mock drafts, and you can see the results of the first round right here. You can see that it's live. These are 12 FFT listeners, viewers, audience members who are participating. One QB, two running backs, two wide receivers, two tight ends, two flex spots, full PPR, and an interesting curveball was thrown at 102, if you can see it on the screen,
yeah.
JSN taken ahead of all the other wide receivers and ahead of Jahmyr Gibbs in that spot. May we all be so lucky to pick third and have one of Gibbs or Bijan fall to it at third overall.
Well, I think when we talk about the safest floors, it maybe will help people decide who they want to pick number one, because all these guys are going to have high upside. And then we're going to figure out, hey, maybe who's the safest in this group. Maybe that's who I'll take number one. Of course, you can all go about it from your own different strategy, different viewpoint. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to. So when we did the highest upside, we grouped them by position. In this case, we're going to group them just by groups of four. So let's take a look at the safest floors in round one. We can, just to make sure nobody's confused, we'll get rid of the draft board because we're using ADP, not the current draft. Round one, you know what? Actually, Dave, real quick, how many more of these fan mocks are you going to do?
As many as humanly possible.
Okay. And do you want to tell people
now and let's say mid July?
Do you want to tell people how to get in and all that?
I still have a nice long list of fans who are interested. However, if you do want to participate in a fan mock draft or a second fan mock draft, if you've already participated in one, email me drichard@cbs.com. Put fans only mock draft or something like that in the subject line, and we'll put you on the list. We're doing a couple of these a week.
Okay, cool. All right, here we go. Group one. So again, just using CBS ADP, four picks at a time. Who has the safest floor? Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, Jamar Chase, or Puka Nacua? Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, Jamar Chase, Puka Nacua. Who has the safest floor, Heath?
Not Puka Nacua. I would say it is Jahmyr Gibbs.
Why not Puka Nacua? The off-field stuff?
Isn't he currently like in a rehab facility of some sort?
I thought he may have been out of that by now, but that's where you were going with just the off-field stuff?
And I think he has the most injury concern of the four.
Okay. So Gibbs, Bijan, Chase, Puka. Heath says it's not Puka, it's Jahmyr Gibbs. Jamie, what do you say?
That's Jamar Chase.
It's Jamar Chase. Dave?
I don't think a running back is the right answer for almost any of these, just the nature of the position. I will say Jamar Chase as well. I love that he's had double-digit targets on average each of the last 3 years. Might even be longer than that.
Again, I talked about this yesterday. I know you weren't on the show, but I don't know about right at the very top of the draft. But in recent years, more than 5 years of data, at least going into last year, running back was safer than wide receiver. Or at the very least, I can say there was no clear evidence that wide receiver was safer than running back. And this was based on how many...
Well, define safer, because I don't think...
How many of the guys who were drafted as top 12 options finished as top 12 options? You know, it's overblown that, running backs, they get hurt all the time. Wide receivers get hurt too. Wide receivers are busts too. Just go look at ADP from last year. You had CeeDee Lamb, you had Justin Jefferson. Who else?
Malik Neighbors.
Malik Neighbors. And those guys were all busts. So to various degrees. So I don't know. I don't know that I go that route anymore, Dave, that running backs.
I'll tell you what, for the answer for me was not necessarily just because of the risk of the position, but there's a track record with Ja'Marr Chase that's a little bit better than the two running backs. So for me, that's why, you know, you kind of know what you're getting with him. Like Jahmyr Gibbs could be awesome. I mean, I think we're all anticipating that, but you know, there's some changes. Offensive line is, I think, I don't want to say worse, but could be worse. They lost a lot of, you know, names at least. And Bijan has a new coordinator, you know, new coach. Like that could be worse. Like there's nothing changing for Ja'Marr Chase, and he's pretty awesome. So
yeah,
I mean, I don't have him ranked the highest of the three, but I think just looking at in terms of who's the safest floor, it's to me it's Ja'Marr Chase.
Jamie, I think I'd take him. I guess
he's highest for me of these wide receivers.
Well, the wide receivers, but I agree that he has the safest floor, and that makes me want to take him number one overall, especially when you factor in the running backs at the end. Well, Nico Collins is there, so I really like that. But the running backs at the end of round two, still pretty good. But let's not factor that in. Anyway, Heath, you want to expand on this here?
Yeah, I think we're probably doing the same thing we did with Upside and trying not to talk too much about injury. But I do think that the fact that Chase has to worry about two people getting hurt, and I'm not sure Jahmyr Gibbs does, probably evens the injury odds. If Gibbs is more likely, I think they've both missed two games over the last three seasons. Chase had an injury 4 years ago. So I think they're pretty close in terms of injury risk. They're both on awesome offenses. I feel more confident that Gibbs is going to score double-digit touchdowns. And maybe the question in terms of safest floor is just, are you in a half PPR or a full PPR league? And in half PPR, it's Gibbs, and in full PPR, it's Chase.
Okay. So here's a great stat on Gibbs. I'm sure I'll be giving it a lot. He scored 13 rushing touchdowns last year, and he was RB3 per game at 21.7 fantasy points per game, very close to Bijan Robinson, who was RB2 per game. Jahmyr Gibbs had 4 goal line carries. David Montgomery had 13. That's just, and he still scored 13 rushing touchdowns. Can you imagine his touchdown potential if he starts getting 75% of the goal line carries? Votes for Bijan here as the safest. And Puka Nacua, I mean, Puka Nacua has been in three seasons, wide receiver 6, wide receiver 4, and wide receiver 1 per game. And, you know, I could get into more numbers, but he was a little bit hurt at the beginning of 2024, sorry. But in his last 8 games, when he played his normal snap share of 2024, he was on pace for 189 targets, almost 1,800 yards, 142 catches. And then he finished as wide receiver 1. So it's a season and a half of him being this elite now for Puka Nacua. So these are all great options, obviously. But just throwing some numbers out at you. All right. That's the first group. We'll go to the second group in a moment. We'll take a break. When we come back, who's the safest? JSN, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Could get some good debate there. Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey has averaged 20.6, 24.7, and 24.5 PPR fantasy points per game in his 3 healthy seasons with San Francisco. Or his last 3 healthy seasons. One of them was with Carolina and San Francisco. And Jonathan Taylor is also in this group. Who's the safest when we come back?
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spell babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
If your skin or honestly your nervous system feels a bit overwhelmed, this is your sign to simplify. I've been reaching for Primally Pure's Blue Tansy products anytime my skin feels reactive, irritated, or just angry. Blue Tansy is naturally this beautiful sky blue oil that helps calm redness, inflammation, and dryness almost immediately, and you feel it working. What I love is that this isn't just skincare. It's a full head-to-toe ritual. From their cult favorite Blue Tansy deodorant to their soothing collection and body oil, everything is designed to work with your body, not against it. Their formulas use real biocompatible ingredients. No fillers, no fragrance, just ingredients your skin actually recognizes and responds to.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today. Our next group of four, 5 through 8 in ADP is JSN, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Christian McCaffrey, and Jonathan Taylor. JSN, St. Brown, McCaffrey, and Taylor. Dave, who's the safest?
I would go with Amon-Ra St. Brown. The consistency over the last three seasons has been great. The target volume has been actually a little up and down for him over those three seasons, and he's still come through. He's not a 30-year-old running back coming off of 450 touches. He's not a running back at all, and he's not a wide receiver that's just had one amazing year. I think that he's the guy, if I'm really trying to play it safe, he's the one I'm earmarking from this four, and I don't think it's even close, to be honest.
Really? Okay. So you say St. Brown, and it's not.
It's not who I'm taking at five overall. This is the same thing that we just talked about with Ja'Marr Chase. But I think if you don't want to lose your draft in round one, even with Drew Petsen coming in as the new play caller, I don't think St. Brown's leaving the field that much. I don't think his target volume is going to dip that much. I'm not even sure it's going to dip at all. I think he's just too good, and so that's why I think he's the safest of this foursome.
Jamie, who's the safest? St. Brown, JSN, McCaffrey, or Taylor?
Yeah, it's St. Brown. I mean, again, you know, resume speaks for itself. He's been just absolutely amazing since he stepped in the NFL and just continues to, you know, get better and play at a high level. I think in the case of JSN, like, he definitely has the higher ceiling and probably the highest ceiling of all these guys, especially when you factor in what the running back room could look like for Seattle if Jadarian Price is not good and they have to throw the ball more. But I mean, look, St. Brown's resume is just impressive. So in terms of floor, he's better than these other three.
Heath?
It's a clean sweep, and I would take St. Brown at fifth overall. And I would say, since everybody agrees on who has the highest floor, I'll say that Jonathan Taylor has the second highest floor.
So you take St. Brown over JSN?
I would.
Okay. You know, McCaffrey is, I think the numbers I gave right before the break, 20.6, 24.7, 24.5 PPR fantasy points per game in his last three healthy seasons, with 2024 being an exception. We play about 3.5 games. You know, I don't think anyone has that floor. So why is the answer not McCaffrey? Just
because you can say over and over and over again that we're not going to talk about injuries, but if we're comparing Christian McCaffrey to three guys with almost no injury history, it's because of injury.
Yeah. Okay. You say Jonathan Taylor is number two. I think, though, it's just important to note, when you look at Taylor, he's played, five seasons? How many seasons for Taylor? He's only had two.
Year six.
What's that?
I think he's going into year six.
It's weird. Why do I have him as going into year seven? Am I crazy here? One, two. Yeah, he's played six seasons? That's weird. Okay. he's 27 years old. He's only had two standout seasons. And, you know, if for fantasy, there have been some extenuating circumstances, injuries, a holdout, splitting carries with Zach Moss after the holdout, that type of thing. But he's only averaged more than 17.6 PPR fantasy points per game twice in six seasons, Heath. Should we be concerned about that?
I would argue that the year that he averaged exactly 17.6 fantasy points per game was also a standout season. But... like, I think that's a pretty fan. I'm not ready to say that JSN's floor is 17.6 fantasy points per game.
Okay.
Or higher than.
But would you say that about Zane Brown? Yes.
Yeah. That's why he's first.
Would you say about McCaffrey?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, should we move on? Anything else to say about this group? All right. You know what? Let me just bring up one more thing on Taylor. What if I took this approach? Because I am afraid of the Colts in general. I'm just afraid of the Daniel Jones factor here. He's got such a history of following up encouraging seasons with absolutely terrible seasons, and he's coming off a torn ACL. Torn Achilles. So if the Colts, how concerned should we be about the Colts taking a big step back? Because remember when we talked about those running back busts on yesterday's show, Jamie, some of them we talked about over the last 10 years, running backs who were drafted as RB1 or 2 who were busts. Some of them were on teams like Saquon Barkley last year, like Austin Eckler a few years ago with the Chargers. They were on teams that really regressed offensively and that pulled them down a little bit. Is that a concern for you with Jonathan Taylor?
I mean, slightly, but I think just looking at what this team looks like, you know, clearly they have, I don't want to say stripped down their receiving core, but, you know, they didn't really do anything to enhance their receiving core. They took away one of their better players and just paid one guy to, you know, stay. And so I'm hoping that his role in the passing game maybe gets a little bit better, and that sort of offsets some potential touchdown regression if there is going to be any. But look, he's been a candidate almost every year of his career, and he's been healthy to lead the league in rushing. He's got an opportunity to still be the catalyst of this team. You know, that they continue to draft these guys, DJ Giddens 2 years ago, I forget who it was this year. You know, these, you know, day three running backs that don't really matter in terms of taking him off the field. So it doesn't feel like he's going to lose any part of his role. And so, yes, the offense is most likely going to get worse from where it was at its peak last year, because that was, I don't think anybody expected that. And I don't think it's, you know, repeatable. But that being said, if Daniel Jones is healthy, same offensive staff, offensive line is still good, and he's still healthy and amazing. So I think you still look at him as pretty safe.
Obviously, they drafted Seth McGowan in the seventh round. I didn't have to look that up at all. Okay, group three is CeeDee Lamb, who was wide receiver 10 per game last year. Remember, he left one game, I think, on the opening possession and left another in the third quarter, I believe, against the Lions. So CeeDee Lamb, Devon Achane, we spent a lot of time talking about. James Cook, who was RB6 per game, but, you know, he played two snaps in Week 18. If you took out Week 18, he would have averaged the full 1.1 more fantasy points per game than he did for the full season. So that would have brought him to 19.2 points per game. That's James Cook. And Chase Brown. Chase Brown has been very good, you know, when featured with Joe Burrow over the last 2 years. So the group of four here is CeeDee Lamb, Devon Achane, James Cook, and Chase Brown. Heath, who has the highest floor?
I think it's probably Lamb. It's not Achane.
Okay. I do like that you're very much, it's not this guy today. I like it. I like the hard stance. All right, so you're going Lamb. There's Achane, Cook, and Chase Brown in this group. Dave, who has the highest floor?
I co-sign with Heath. It's Lamb, and it's definitely not Achane.
Jamie, is a lamb kebab here?
I think it's James Cook.
Okay. Lamb. All right, sorry. Go ahead. Why is it James Cook?
I mean, you've seen what he's been in this offense the last two seasons, and now you're giving Joe Brady the opportunity to be the head coach on top of the play caller. And so Lamb is obviously great, but what we saw last year when there was somebody of a great talent opposite him, it was frustrating. And so I think just looking at what the offense in Buffalo is, like, it's the James Cook show. And so I just feel a little bit safer with him than I do with CeeDee Lamb at this point, knowing that if George Pickens shows up on time and doesn't have a holdout, he was better than CeeDee Lamb as a fantasy receiver last year. I know some of that's just touchdown production, and obviously the games that Lamb missed factored into that. But I mean, Pickens is pretty awesome. Like, so it just makes me a little bit nervous that CeeDee Lamb has had one amazing season and then several. Yeah, he's good. Yeah, I'd like to have him on my fantasy team, but we've been chasing that season for a couple of years now.
I think CeeDee Lamb, I'm glad you brought that up. It kind of reminds me of Jonathan Taylor And this is kind of, this is the whole point of Azer stats, right? Because CeeDee Lamb 2023, was he wide receiver one that year? Or he was amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So
he averaged almost 30 PPR points per game after the bye right. that year.
But then in 2024, it was disappointing, but Dak Prescott got hurt. And Dak Prescott didn't really play that well, but just in the games with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb averaged 19.2 PPR fantasy points in 2024. And then last year, you know, they bring in Pickens, and in the last 10 games of the year, Lamb was only wide receiver 13 per game, but he was on pace for 156 targets. He unfortunately had only five, was on pace for only five touchdowns, but had a 26% target share. So I think it's like, you're right. He's only had that one, you know, pop year, but he's had that, like that year, that half a season with Dak Prescott in 2024, he was also amazing. So I think that makes him a bounce back candidate. However, you could also say, Heath, you could say, well, he did all of that without George Pickens, and we saw him with George Pickens, and it's a different story.
Yeah, I think that would be the argument against CeeDee Lamb. I guess from Cook's perspective, it is, are they serious about actually throwing the ball more? Does the fact that they added a wide receiver one in DJ Moore mean that maybe we get 550 pass attempts from Josh Allen? And we haven't really seen James Cook have the involvement in the passing game we would like recently. He's just run the ball so much and scored so many rushing touchdowns. What if Josh Allen has a 35 pass touchdown season?
You know, I was thinking, I know they're not in the same group, but I'm going to break the rules here. Who's safer, James Cook or Jonathan Taylor? Because Cook had 309 carries in 17 games, but in one of those games he had two carries and that was it, and then he left week 18. So that's a, you know, that's a guy who could be pushing 320, 330 carries.
He had 345 carries if you include the postseason. Easily a career high. That's something to not forget about with Cook.
Okay, but so maybe you would expect Taylor to have more carries, but not that many more. Maybe you would expect Taylor to have 10 to 12 more catches than Cook. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. No.
But the, you know, the Buffalo offense gives Cook maybe a little bit more security, maybe, than the Colts offense, although the Colts offense was the number one scoring offense in the NFL when Daniel Jones was healthy last year. So who's safer to you, James Cook or Jonathan Taylor?
Taylor.
It's Taylor.
Taylor, but it's close.
Okay. All right, let's go to group three. And let's go to group one of round two. Round two, it starts with these four players: Drake London, Omarion Hampton, Justin Jefferson, and Ashton Jeanty. Safety is we're getting less safe as we go down the board, obviously. But Dave, I'll let you kick it off. Who's the safest? Drake London, Omarion Hampton, Justin Jefferson, or Ashton Jeanty?
Sticking with the wide receiver theme, for me, it's Drake London, 9.3 targets per game each of the last two seasons. And now he's tied to, it's not a great quarterback combo platter with Tua Tagovailoa and Michael Penix, but it should mean a lot of volume going his way, a lot of short throws going his way. Absolutely much more of a PPR thing. And we could say the same thing for all these receivers. Format definitely matters when we're talking about this. But I think Drake London's going to continue to be a ultra volume getter in Atlanta. And that just makes me feel better about drafting him and knowing what to expect. Over 16 PPR points per game each of the last 2 years.
So it's London for Dave. Again, the other players are Hampton, Jefferson, and Jeanty. Jamie, who's got the highest floor? Who's the safest here?
It's a tough call between the receivers, but I'm going to go Jefferson. One bad year on his resume, and it was with, you know, maybe the worst quarterback that he's played with. And so quarterback upgrade, I think, is going to matter here. You know, Dave kind of, you know, pushed me in this direction a little bit with his Falcons quarterback situation. Like, they're both sort of uncertain and unsafe to a degree.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think just looking at, you know, again, what Jefferson has done throughout his career, I think that matters. I think obviously the coaching continuity here matters. There's more competition for targets for him than there is for Drake London. So that, I think, has to factor in. But again, if we're talking about safe floors, Jefferson's resume, again, speaks for itself. You're going to hear me say that a lot. You know, so I think what he's done and hopefully will continue to do gives him the opportunity to be safer than Drake London. Now, again, ceiling, I think Drake London's higher because lack of target competition. And if I think it's going to be Tua, but You know, he was still pretty good with Penix last year also. I think the addition of Juwan Jennings is a little bit concerning. But again, in terms of safe floor, I think Justin Jefferson's a little bit safer.
All right. Heath, London, Hampton, Jefferson, Genty, who has the safest floor?
It's I'm going to go with London. I think Jamie made some good points on the resume for Jefferson. I'm just a little bit concerned that Kyler Murray means this is a very low pass volume pass offense. We saw like some of Jefferson's best years have been on teams that are throwing the ball 600 plus times. And I think Kyler's probably going to run it 8 times a game. And so I've got London projected for 3 more fantasy points per game than Justin Jefferson. I don't think his floor could be that much lower to where I'd have to say Jefferson.
Just going to give you...
Heath, do you know who historically has thrown the ball more, Stefanski or O'Connell?
Well, that they have a lot of variance in their histories. O'Connell had 631 pass attempts back in 2022 and only 484 last year. So just looking at the last 3 years, because that's the data that I have right in front of me, it's 554 pass attempts per game for the O'Connell offense and 614 for the Stefanski offense.
That's interesting.
Over the last 5 years, it's a combination of two teams for Stefanski, but his pass rate's been they've been pretty close to the same. In Minnesota, it was 60.7, although most of that was with I'm not giving a good answer here. O'Connell's higher. O'Connell's the higher one of the two.
Well, not in terms of total pass attempts, maybe in terms of percentage
pass rate. Right. That's what I'm looking at. Right.
And that's one thing about the Stefanski offense that we'll have to see if it transfers over from Cleveland. His teams over the last 3 years have averaged 90 more plays per season than O'Connell's.
Right.
Stefanski, even when he has bad teams, even when he has bad offenses, they run a ton of plays.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
Yeah, right. Very, very. Now it's about league average in terms of like actual time between plays, but he's at 57.5% pass rate, and Kevin O'Connell is at 60.4.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
same exact type of time between plays between both of them.
Which running back has a higher floor, Hampton or Genty?
Genty.
I'm going to say Genty.
I'm going to agree and say Genty, but I think you can make the case either way.
I can't. It's not that London has been bad by any means, but I can't quite understand why he hasn't been amazing yet. You know, his last 2 years, 16.5 and 16.8 fantasy points per game. I don't know what's missing. I talk about it a lot. He doesn't do a lot after the catch.
Yak is what's missing. Mm-hmm. And touchdowns. He doesn't have a double-digit touchdown season yet.
No, but he had 9 in 2024 in 17 games. Here's something with London. Over the last 2 years, he has had a 33.5% target per route run rate with Michael Penix on the field. That would probably, most years, that would lead the NFL. 33.5% target per route run rate with Penix. Without Penix, 25.6%. Now, I don't know if that's a fluke or not, but he's been so much better when Penix has been on the field. All right, the next group is the picks.
That obviously includes the tail end of 2024, right?
Yeah, when Mooney was
Remember those hurt. Last few games?
Mm-hmm.
When he was literally the only show in town and Penix was starting. Penix was a rookie.
Okay, but if you just want to look at 20...
I wonder if it's closer if you just go 2025.
That's fine. 2025, it was 31.5% target per out run rate with Penix, 21.2%. Without Penix. Yeah, but that's only 104 routes. That's like 2 games, basically.
It's just too small.
Okay. Next group, picks 5 through 8 in round 2. Rashi Rice, Saquon Barkley, Trey McBride, and Derrick Henry. Yeah.
What are we considering here in terms of floor?
Right.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just treat Rashi Rice as if he's not going to be suspended, and he's the easy answer. He's the easy answer here, isn't he? If he's on the field,
let's just treat him as if nothing has happened.
If you told me everybody, but then are we saying that Derrick Henry's just not going to have any age concerns?
No, I think age is different than suspension. Look, Rice not only is Rice, you know, has these off-field issues, he's also recovering from a knee surgery in jail. So maybe I'm overestimating the safety of it. But over the last 3 years, you know, last six games of his rookie year, three games he played in 2024, games he played in 2025, he's been basically the most consistent. I don't know if this is hyperbole or not, but I feel like he's been, Rashee Rice, the most consistent fantasy player.
This is your argument for Christian McCaffrey being the most consistent player in round one.
What's the argument?
It's as if when they're not there, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think
that's why Adam loves points per game.
I think no. Well, look, you can answer it in both ways, right? If Rashee Rice had no off-field concerns, would he be the answer of highest floor amongst Rice, Barkley, McBride, and Henry?
Yes. Sure, but you can't say that while he's currently in jail.
Agreed. But what about the knee injury? Does that change his floor and the surgery he just had?
I mean, by all accounts, it seems like it, or reports are, it's a minor surgery, but he's just rehabbing it in jail. That's the problem, is that I think if he knew he was going to get arrested or incarcerated for violating his probation, then he would not have had the surgery at the time that he did.
All right, so let's factor everything in then. You know, the injury, the off-field issues.
I mean, Derrick Henry has the safest floor of these guys.
In full PPR?
Yes.
All right, now, before Dave and Heath answer, I want you all to think about it. Rice, Barkley, McBride, Henry. McBride's got a pretty good case, I'd say. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and get some other perspectives after this on Fantasy Football Today.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Okay, Dave.
Before you continue, pull up Scott's message.
I didn't know if I wanted to share that on the air, but I saw it. But
oh, Scott, hopefully everything's okay with your wife.
Yeah, Scott, thanks for being part of the FFT family. I'm glad that everyone in the chat and hopefully us on the show have helped you through it, as you mentioned. But Scott has a personal situation. We're hoping for the best, and thanks for being here. Okay, so it's Rashee Rice, Saquon Barkley, Trey McBride, and Derrick Henry. Who's the safest? Jamie says it's Henry. Dave, what do you say?
I think, again, you can make the case for all four of these guys. I'm going to go with McBride, assuming full PPR. Same exact argument I've been making all along. The target volume, I don't think it's going to be as good as it was previously, but I don't think Mike LaFleur is going to get away from using McBride in his offense. I am positive he will come up with ways to utilize him, not quite the same way that like stars like Nacua and Devontae went off in L.A. It's going to be a little bit different for him. But as long as Brissett's the quarterback, and I think he's going to be the quarterback for the majority of the year, we've seen a tendency with him to lean on tight ends. I think McBride's still going to be the safest of the bunch to just load up on targets, get a lot of catches, and I don't think he's going to score anywhere near as many touchdowns as Derrick Henry, but he might score as many as Saquon Barkley. Last year, he completely obliterated Barkley in that department. And with Rashee Rice's off-field issues, I think the floor is – you know, cold, hard cement, like the kind that's in a jail cell.
Oh, jeez.
For Rashee Rice.
Heath?
I do not think that there's really any floor in this group.
Okay.
But I would probably say, I don't know. I'm kind of excited about this, the talk about the Philadelphia offense and maybe more throws to the running backs. And I'm terrified to say a 33-year-old running back has the highest floor. But I'd probably say Derrick Henry still.
I never draft Henry. I just like every year it's a bad decision. But I never draft him. He's 32, by the way. He'll be 33 in January. So we'll give Henry one last.
Well, he's only 32, so he easily has the highest floor.
Yeah. I don't think he'd be my answer, but I'm not sure who it would be because you make a good point. I kind of want to say Barkley. He's not going to come off the field much. I know last year was really bad for Barkley, but at least like Henry had 15 catches last year. Barkley should at least double that. And if they are going to throw to the running backs more, he's got potential for a lot more. I think the Eagles offense bounces back. So I'm going to say Trey McBride. Okay.
I'll just say in regards to the reception, we make the same argument, and I'm the most guilty of it by anybody. We make the same argument against Derrick Henry every year. He's not going to catch the ball. He's getting older. This is going to happen. And every year he's just the same guy.
What if you knew that the offense was going to change and that they were going to get rid of the fullback in the offense and that Derrick Henry's efficiency without a fullback isn't as good as him with a fullback?
And they don't have Linderbaum. They don't have one of the best centers.
And for sure, in the middle of their offensive line is going to undergo a change too, and it's a new offense that they're going to install. But Henry's been down that road before, and Henry, when he was younger in Tennessee, fullback, no fullback, it certainly didn't matter there. These are like the little things that I might nitpick Derrick Henry on, but as long as he's in this Baltimore offense, and they did improve at guard while losing at center, there's still a lot to really love about him. It's just the nature of the position combined with the fact that he's 32/33 makes me nervous about what that floor could be for Henry. I don't mind drafting him. I just don't want to reach for him.
Okay. Let's go to the next group here. Our last group for today. Picks 9 through 12 of round two. I'm an idiot. Sorry. George Pickens, Ken Walker. I'm going to call him Kenneth Walker. I always call him Ken. I don't think he wants to be called Ken. George Pickens, Kenneth Walker, Josh Allen, and Josh Jacobs. So obviously this ADP is not really.
So it's which of the three?
Yeah. But we could do two hypotheticals. We could do Jacobs with no issues and Jacobs as it currently stands, because he's a pretty safe player. That's his appeal, I think. So Jamie, you can kick it off. Who's got the, boy, it's weird to see Walker with the Chiefs logo. Who's got the highest floor? Pickens, Ken Walker, Josh Allen, or Josh Jacobs?
I mean, it's obviously Josh Allen. You know, so you look at what he's done. It's again, resume speaks for itself. He's been a top three quarterback almost every year of his career since his rookie season. Number one for multiple years. Like, yeah, there's nothing to argue against him in terms of floor. Like, he is the number one fantasy quarterback going into the season.
Okay, so if it's not Allen, who is it?
I mean, then it gets tougher between Pickens and Walker. I'll probably lean Walker just because of the concern about a potential contract standoff between Pickens and the Cowboys. I know that's not something that's going to help his cause, but he still may make us think about it because he wants to. And so just to make a point, I don't know. I think Walker going to Kansas City is a slam dunk move. Whether it works out or not remains to be seen. But you had a team that was 25th in running the ball last year. They just get the Super Bowl MVP. When he's been the featured guy, he's been absolutely amazing. We saw that in the playoffs when he was, if you just take his points per game, 49ers game through the Super Bowl, that's better than what McCaffrey did last year. And so if that guy shows up on a team that has a quarterback coming off a very significant injury with a coach that when he's had a good running game and a good running back has been absolutely amazing, and he's done it with some crappy guys too. And so here you have this guy that's still in his prime. I mean, Walker could be the best running back in fantasy. Wouldn't shock me. So I would take Walker if I'm not taking Allen.
But that's the case for his upside.
Sure. But again, okay, so we're just taking the floor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The numbers when he's gotten carries. So I don't have it in front of me, but it was like 17-plus carries in his career. He's had like 25 of those games. It's like 17-plus fantasy PPR points per game. Like there's no argument against what he's done when he's gotten those touches. And so you saw the pitfalls with Charbonnet last year and taking him off the field in key spots for the last couple of years. It's just easy to say, okay, maybe it's Emmett Johnson, maybe it's Breshard Smith, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Like, they paid this guy to be the guy and to really fix their run game, and I think he's going to do it.
Yeah, Ken Walker has actually never finished higher than 12th per game for a full season. So we're hoping for he could be in the breakout column easily. But right now he's probably close to RB12 in the, you know, in the ADP. all right. So Dave, what's your pick? Pickens, Walker, or Josh Jacobs? Well, obviously Josh Allen would be the answer.
I don't love the floors for any of these three guys. And assuming that we're just going to ignore the events of this week, I'll say it's Jacobs, who was almost at 20 PPR points per game through the first half of last year, finished up at almost 16 PPR points per game. That was after his first year in Green Bay when he had 17.2 PPR points per game. We know that the Packers love to run the football. We know that the Packers do prefer a workhorse running back. I think Jacobs is going to be able to continue handling that role in his age 28 season. And he's got to be there. He's got to play. And if he's obviously mired in off-field stuff, obviously that impacts his floor. But if we're ignoring that, I think he's got the safest floor of the three.
So just the stat I gave, I was way off in the games. 37 games in his career, Ken Walker, including the playoffs, has at least 13 carries. 37 games in his career with at least 13 carries. 13 carries. He's averaging 16.6 PPR points per game in those 37 games.
Wow.
That's the floor.
That's good.
We've seen it in spurts with Walker. We have not seen a full season of him being great. And I don't know why that is, but we've definitely seen it in
spurts. You know why.
No, I don't. I mean, I
he
think
he gets banged up. And when he gets banged up, he's not the same player. And he tries playing through injuries, and he's just he's not the same guy. And that's what you've got to worry about with Walker, is that he doesn't have a track record of like catastrophic injuries, but he does have a track record of playing hurt and not being at 100%. And when he's not at 100%, he's like 11 PPR points per game.
He also tries to hit the home run all the time. I think that's part of his struggles too. It's, you know, the Seattle offensive line was a big improvement in 2025 compared to 2024. And the Chiefs have a really good offensive line. You know, that's a big plus for him. Heath, what's your take on this group? Pickens, Ken Walker, Josh Allen, Josh Jacobs. We'll eliminate Allen because he seems to be the answer.
Yes. If Josh Jacobs plays 17 games, then it's him. If standing here today with everything we currently know, I would say Ken Walker. You just think that the contract situation for Pickens and Pickens' general history of kind of some up and down happiness with the team. And then Jacob's current legal situation. I think it's Walker.
Okay. So that's it for this exercise. That was fun. Good debates. And just again, floor is not the only reason you draft someone. Upside is not the only reason you draft someone, but they are obviously big factors. Dave, let's check in on the OnlyFans draft. How are we doing?
It's into round 8. And as you can see on the draft board, very dominant with running backs and wide receivers, especially early on. I think some of the quarterback picks are a little bit surprising. Invite you guys to look at them and maybe find one or two of your own that might stand out to you.
So, wait, what'd you say, the running back picks?
Well, I mean, no, the quarterback
picks. The quarterback picks. Question, what's the format? How many of each position are we starting?
Two, and two flex, one tight end, one quarterback.
Oh, two flex. Okay. Quarterback picks. Those are in pink. Wow. Josh Allen, first pick of round 4. Okay. Burrow, Jack. So then it was Jack. No, then it was Burrow. Then it was Jackson. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott, QB4. Drake May, mm-hmm. QB5. Jaden Daniels, QB6. Caleb Williams, QB7. That's all we have so far. What do you think? Go get your guy, or we have some reaches?
No, I definitely think there are some reach picks among quarterbacks. The fact that Jalen Hurts is still on the board is very surprising.
Yeah.
Herbert yet, no Stafford yet. Although by round 8, Herbert and Stafford, that might be the time where you start to think about them going off the board. But Hurts should be long gone by now.
Achan went with the third pick of round 2. Jacobs went with the fifth pick of round 3. Bucky Irving, who's been in the news lately with his injury updates, ninth pick of round 3. We're not going to take him there, right?
No, not going to take Javonte with the fourth pick of round 3 either.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's like Javonte Williams and Jeremiah Love got swapped. Javonte went with the fourth pick of round 3. Jeremiah Love went in the middle of round 4. It was interesting.
How about McBride going almost 10 picks after Bowers?
Bowers at 2.9, McBride at 3.6. Fun.
Correct.
And the first round basically looked pretty normal, except that JSN pick number two.
Mm-hmm. You can watch the results on YouTube after the fact and see how some of our fans-only mock drafts went.
Cool, man. Thank you all for participating in these. We really appreciate your enthusiasm. And it's been very helpful, and we have good ADP, and I love it. All right, that's Dave Richard, Heath Cummings, and Jamie Eisenberg. I'm Adam Azer. We're going to do FFT Express soon, but if you don't listen to that, have an awesome... Well, no. If you don't listen to that, then don't have a great weekend. How about that? Yeah. Laying that down. Otherwise, have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you next time on Fantasy Football Today. See ya!
Podcasts.